PromoHomo.tv begins right now.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Nicholas Snow. This is PromoHomo.tv. We are simulcasting live on Facebook and also on Blog Talk Radio. And for the record, it is May 31st, 2016 at 10 a.m., and with me on the show today, I have a renowned HIV/AIDS activist, Thomas Davis. He's going to be talking to us exclusively about what just happened between Bernie Sanders and HIV/AIDS activists. The call-in number is open, and it's going to be a fascinating show here on Promo Homo TV. So glad you're with us. Oh, just one second. I lost audio in that one. That's what I love about live audio. So I'm just going to do a quick switch out here of some audio. We're still live, though, everybody. So just one second. I think that I just... And... Okay, let's try that again. Just one second, everybody. That's the beauty. You know, you can see that I'm dealing with lots of technology here, and it is all fairly new. So let's see if we got this right.
PromoHomo.tv begins right now. Simulcast on Blog Talk Radio and Facebook Live, which basically means this is a worldwide television show that you can watch from any internet-connected device, and you can call in. How cool is that? The show is made possible with the generous support of Desert AIDS Project, Lulu California Bistro, 849 Restaurant and Lounge, and we're a proud media sponsor of the LGBT Community Center of the Desert, Palm Springs Pride, and numerous other organizations and causes. For more about our sponsors and those we support, visit promohomo.tv. And now, on with the snow, show.
And here I am. You know, hey, Thomas, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's nice to be here, Nicholas.
So, Thomas, you didn't see it, but when I sort of stood up to adjust my speaker wires, I thought it would be funny today to broadcast in my underwear, but I didn't think I would be standing up. So I might have just flashed our entire audience in my boxer shorts. So just so you know, and I want the audience out there to know that I realized that I just did that. So Thomas Davis is on the phone. Grew up in Estes Park, Colorado. He moved to Los Angeles in 2010 to attend AMDA College and Conservatory of the Arts, where he received his BFA in Performing Arts Dance Theater in 2013. At the start of his final semester, he was diagnosed with HIV. Realizing he didn't know a lot about HIV, Davis did his best to educate himself and realized things were going to be okay. After not seeing many stories from MSM of color, MSM stands for Men Who Have Sex with Men, speaking out about their experiences, he decided to share his own story with the hopes that others would do the same. Since then, Davis has become an international speaker, traveling from college campuses to the Cayman Islands, and was a youth ambassador for the Human Rights Campaign. He works at the Los Angeles LGBT Center in the Sexual Health Education Program and was selected to be part of the HIV 360 Fellowship sponsorship by the Human Rights Campaign and the Elton John Foundation. That's very cool, Thomas. And let me see, is this, I have a photo of you queued up somewhere so I can let people see you. Oh, well, this actually is a photo of the activist. So right now what people are seeing, Thomas, is they're seeing a large photo of the group of activists that met with Bernie Sanders. That's the heading at the top of Peter Staley's tip sheet. So I'm letting them have a peek at that. And then they're going to see the call-in number now, which is 347-215-8866. So, Thomas, first of all, why don't we start with how you became part of the group of activists that ended up working and ended up invited to the Bernie Sanders meeting?
All right. Well, as you know, the coalition, they met with Hillary earlier this month, and that was kind of sparked after, you know, she had her her little blunder earlier this year at Nancy Reagan's funeral. So they were originally supposed to have this meeting. It wasn't supposed to be in California originally. I believe it was in Ohio. I could be wrong about that. But basically what happened was 48 hours before that meeting, less than 48 hours, the campaign canceled it and said that they had to reschedule and then wasn't responding to any emails. So when they finally heard back from the campaign after pressuring them, they said that they would agree to meet with us in California. Well, the 24 hours passed. But when people found out that it was going to be in L.A. and that area, they were kind of talking to see who was going to be available for that meeting. He was able to make it, so somehow my name got thrown into the mix, and somebody called and asked me if I would like to sit in on that meeting.
And you did sit in on the meeting. Since you mentioned it, for people who may not know, tell me about Hillary's blunder, for those who do not know about Hillary's blunder.
Okay, so, you know, over Nancy Reagan's funeral, Hillary was on, I think it was CNN, and she was talking about, you know, the First Lady, and said that, you know, that her and her husband did so much to start a conversation about HIV and AIDS when the epidemic was going on, and, you know, that people weren't talking about it beforehand, which is just not true. I don't know where that would have came from. Who knows why she said that, because it definitely is not true. It's a well-known fact that the Reagans were not heroes when it came to HIV and AIDS. She got a lot of backlash from it. I was one of the people to actually give her a lot of backlash as well, because I was not, I was very upset about that. So that's kind of what brought the conversation about HIV really into this race, and that was one of the reasons why the group reached out to her to, you know, encourage them to continue a dialogue about HIV and AIDS, and that this, you know, to try to make this opportunity instead of just, you know, something to drag.
Okay, that's a nice little recap of that. I'm going to actually bring up some reporting. I want to quote something and get your take on it. So in one of the stories I was looking at about to prepare for today's episode, Tommy Christopher from Mediate.com, in a story that he wrote, said, after putting pressure on the Bernie Sanders campaign to agree to meet with them, a coalition of HIV activists now say the independent Vermont senator and Democratic presidential candidate is misleading the public about the content of that meeting and exploiting their group for short-term political gain, even implying an endorsement by the group that they did not make. Now, I do have lots of other content queued up that the great activist Peter Staley has made available that we'll reference, but one of the things that I'm curious about is the spin that that HIV/AIDS activists put pressure on the Sanders campaign to meet. You would think that the Sanders campaign would automatically want to meet with activists and that no pressure would be needed. Would you explain to me your take on how the Sanders campaign was sort of pressured into the meeting to begin with?
I will definitely explain that. I will also encourage anybody, if you want to kind of hear more about this, to go to Peter Staley's Facebook or Twitter or something. He has these articles actually posted, which does a really good recap of all this. But I'll definitely explain my understanding. My understanding was that after Hillary misspoke, Bernie went on to the news the next day and basically criticized her for it. And then later that day, he released a statement about you know, his plan for the HIV epidemic. So it wasn't actually something that was, him releasing that wasn't something that anybody asked for. He did that himself. So after he released that, and you know, people had to have a meeting with Hillary, it, you know, it just seemed, you know, reasonable that you would meet with the other candidate. So originally the meeting was scheduled for half an hour, and half an hour to like 45 minutes, and that is what that was the schedule. So after they canceled on the group of activists, you know, some of these people had non-refundable tickets, they already flew out, and then this was canceled, you know, like 48 hours before. So, you know, everybody that was going to be at the meeting was already there. So, you know, I can imagine there was some, you know, annoyance there, but I mean, I'm not sure because I wasn't there for it. You know, after rescheduling, the campaign was not responding. Their communication just cut off abruptly. It was not something that, you know, and if there is any group of people that you should not ignore, it is the gays and the AIDS activists, if you ask first. So, you know, I am not surprised, you know, that there, I guess there was some pressure, but I think that would have happened from any candidate that was, you know, communicating with any campaign, and then they were, I mean, I think the idea of, you know, pressuring them to at least reschedule or give some kind of explanation as to why they did, you know, what they expected.
Well, that makes complete sense to me. Now, one of the things that inspired me to reach out to you is that you're one of the activists that I have met in person and, you know, have an ongoing interaction with. And I know you well enough to just be following you a bit more closely than the others. And you mentioned something on your Facebook page that says, if someone tries to tell you in a meeting that you were at what happened and you were there and they weren't, well, what's up with that? Now, that's a paraphrase of what you said, but am I sort of paraphrasing you accurately?
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I think my biggest frustration, I guess, walking away was at the end of this meeting, we all felt really good about it, actually. We had a great meeting with Mr. Sanders, with Senator Sanders. It was obvious that, you know, he does care about this issue, and that there was a lot that, you know, he needed to hear. There's a lot he still needs to learn about. So we felt really great. Then to have the whole meeting, I guess, spun the next day, to make it out to be something it wasn't is what really upset me. And I was somebody that, you know, before this whole fiasco happened, I still considered myself undecided and kind of in the middle. I think that's the biggest frustration, was that the whole meeting itself was just misrepresented.
Why don't you talk about what you thought was going on? We have two comments among the viewers. Les Brown is watching, and also Peggy Niles asked, what is going on? I hadn't heard anything about this. Well, Peggy and Les and everyone who's watching, all you have to do is Google Peter Staley, the name Peter Staley and Bernie Sanders, or Bernie Sanders and HIV, and you're going to find out lots of information about this meeting that took place and what happened as the result. So, Thomas, I'm going to throw it back to you, and while you're talking, I'm actually looking for another piece of source material online, but why don't you talk about what you felt was going on in the meeting and what you felt was being communicated and heard before this different spin came out from the campaign.
Awesome. Absolutely. So before even getting in the meeting, we all had been emailing. We had an agenda that we were going to go through and discuss. And we all had different topics. So, you know, we had topics talking about drug pricing and to HIV criminalization, to transgender issues, to homelessness. Like there were so many topics that we all covered. And it wasn't just one person talking. Like we each divvied up the time, had a little bit to say about each one of our topics, and handed it off to the next person. So you know, I felt like we shed a lot of light on a whole lot of other issues besides drug pricing, because that was my biggest issue with, I guess, Bernie Sanders' plan, was that it really focused so much attention on pharmacies. And although I do think that that was an important issue, you know, there's more, this is a hashtag I had, there's more to me than my meds, you know, it's more than my meds when it comes to my struggle with HIV. So I felt like the whole meeting, we shed a lot of light on other issues. And, you know, overall, I could tell that there was people that cared about this issue. This still was something I'm familiar with. You could tell the way he was talking about, you know, HIV and AIDS. You know, he would be saying AIDS with HIV. But overall, he was listening. He really was listening. You know, he was shocked to hear that, you know, people that are transgender are more at risk for HIV because they didn't really understand that. I, for one, talked specifically about how, you know, we can't limit this this messaging to the LGBT community, because then women are left out, heterosexual men are left out, and then, you know, people that think that this doesn't have to apply to them, this doesn't apply to them, are left out. So, you know, I talk specifically about widening the lens on HIV and not just focusing on one specific issue. So after, we all, you know, when we all were talking, we all felt that regardless of how the presidential race turned out, that we had, you know, created a really great ally with Bernie, and that, you know, he genuinely cared about the issue. We hoped that he would continue to deepen his understanding. And basically what we asked was that he basically released a statement, his campaign released a statement, or a plan that they had out within like 30 days, but, you know, suggested that it be before the California primary. And just basically asked that, you know, he had other issues. That's basically what the meeting was about. So, yeah, I will say this ballot initiative that is being talked about and is so much free publicity from this was mentioned at the very, very end for a big second. So that's the thing. And before we went into the meeting, we all agreed that we were not going to touch that issue because there's a lot to unpack as far as that issue comes. Not everybody was, you know, on the same page as far as what they felt about it, if they thought it was right, if they thought it was wrong. So we all agreed as a team, not just as, you know, as a team, we all decided and would be best not touch on that subject unless he brought it up. But we would voice that there were some organizations that had concerns, and we would ask him to reach out. That's literally all we said about the ballot.
Blossom Brown, our gal Blossom Brown, has joined in, and she says, "Go Thomas."
I love
you, Blossom Brown. I love Blossom. You know, for those who do not know, Blossom is transgender, and she stood out on season one of I Am Kate in a meeting with members of representatives of the transgender community and Caitlyn Jenner, and everyone fell. My opinion is everyone fell in love with you at that moment, Blossom, and they haven't stopped. Would you agree, Thomas?
Absolutely.
So, Queerty.com reported a widely reported quote by Peter Staley. And, you know, when you watch this back online, Thomas, you're going to see that I have configured my studio to function as a 3 or 4 camera studio. It's kind of hilarious the way that I have it set up. So, at any rate, on Queerty.com, and that's what you're seeing on your screen right now, activist Peter Staley, that's a great photo of him. I tell you the photo credit, but it's not listed. This is a direct quote from Peter Staley. Feeling used and abused by the Sanders campaign right now. They just issued a press release making it sound like our meeting was about his endorsement of AHF's drug policy ballot initiative in California. AHF, for those who do not know, stands for AIDS Healthcare Foundation. Senator Sanders never brought up the issue during our meeting. We brought it up near the end, only to tell him that we had been flooded with messages from all the leading AIDS organizations in California with deep concerns about AHF's initiative. They are worried it could actually negatively impact access to AIDS drugs. these groups have tried to reach the campaign with these concerns but had hit a brick wall. We asked Sanders to designate someone in his campaign to talk with these groups, and he agreed to this. We did not endorse AHF's initiative, and that's in all caps. His campaign should not have issued a press release implying this was a major topic of discussion at the meeting and that there was a general agreement on the senator's position on this, anything but. And then Quirty provides the link to the Sanders, official Sanders press release, which reads, and Thomas, stop me at the point that I read something that jumped out and the activists objected to that you feel is misleading. So this is the press release. Sanders backs California ballot initiative to rein in drug prices at meeting with HIV/AIDS advocates. May 25th, 2016. Right there, they have like misleading.
The first line. The first line. But anyway,
I didn't get very far, did I? Sanders backs California. Oh, so in other words, Sanders did not express an opinion at the meeting about the initiative.
No, it was not something that was discussed at all. He did not bring it up. He did not say anything about it. He didn't say that it was with AHF. Like, it was not said ever.
Well, you know, and what's implied by the headline and the way that the headline alone is that if Sanders is going to meet with the world's leading HIV/AIDS activist and allegedly back a particular policy and then comes out and announces it, then what is implied or inferred is that the activists shared in that decision and applauded and helped create it.
Exactly, and that's not what happened at all. But you can continue with the article. Let's get a little further.
Oh, thanks. Thank you so much. I got as far as the headline. So, U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders on Wednesday met with national HIV/AIDS advocates to discuss the epidemic and his support for a California ballot initiative to lower prices for taxpayer-supported AIDS treatments. Quote.
Right there. So yeah, thank you for that. So
let me read that again.
Part of it.
We're dissecting the press release line by line. So let me read this again. U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders on Wednesday met with national HIV advocates. That's true. HIV/AIDS advocates. That's true. To discuss the epidemic. That's true.
Yes.
And his support for a California ballot initiative. Which never happened.
Yeah.
And that initiative is about lowering taxes for taxpayer-supported AIDS treatments.
Mm-hmm.
So
that second part of that
sentence
never happened.
Yeah, the second part of the sentence is not true. So there's another link that I have queued up that at Project Inform, so Peter Staley, Peter Staley has come up with a list of concerns about the California Drug Price Relief Act. So let me take this apart point by point, Thomas, and you can provide your personal perspective and expanded understanding of each point. And these talking points were prepared by Project Inform, a leading AIDS advocacy group based in San Francisco. One of the key points is it is unclear whether the initiative would result in cost savings to the state. I'm just going to read this, Thomas, and you stop me if there's something you want to jump in about. But if you basically feel like what I'm reading is conveying the meaning, then I'll read it and then we'll discuss. So Project Inform says, it is unclear whether the initiative would result in cost savings to the state. All of the Medi-Cal managed care is carved out of the initiative, which is where the overwhelming majority of drug purchasing in Medi-Cal occurs. It is unclear how the lower reference prices upon which discounts would be achieved would actually be established. In fact, the lowest prices paid by the VA for individual prescription drugs are not publicly available. The VA currently administers the National Acquisition Center Contract Catalog Search Tool, which lists the FSS, Federal Supply Schedule, price and the Big Four price. The ceiling price is available to all federal purchasers and the Big Four, respectively. You almost have to have a degree to understand all this, Thomas.
Oh, yeah, it definitely, a lot of it is over my head as well, don't worry.
While the Big Four or FSS price would act as a ceiling for the VA also gets additional rebates for the formulary placement of drugs, and individual VA facilities can receive additional discounts. These are not listed on the contract catalog search tool, as they are not generally available prices for other federal pub purchasers. So, frankly, this is all over my head, but the key point is that it's unclear whether the initiative would result in cost savings. There are concerns about specific programs that serve people living with HIV and hepatitis as related to the ADAP program. This is fairly extensive in its reporting. So then Peter Staley has come up with an excellent tip sheet for presidential campaigns, how to interact with single-issue advocates with AIDS as a recent example.
Yes, I saw that yesterday.
Well, what I'm discovering, Thomas, is there's an unlimited amount of things that we could continue to talk about. So let's recap some of the facts and look at the solutions. So the facts are, Bernie Sanders met with a group of activists, and the whole meeting was misrepresented, and it put a very widely public spin that leads people to think that Bernie Sanders supports an act that the bulk of HIV/AIDS service organizations in California and activists oppose. Am I right so far?
I wouldn't go so far as to say that everybody opposes it. I would say that there are many concerns, because I don't know how all organizations feel, but there are a lot of concerns, and it's not so much that it seems like Sanders campaign supports it. They do. They responded to the open letter that we sent to them, and they said that they stand with ACEF, and that they are, you know, they have taken an endorsement from them, that they are basically, you know, investing them. More or less.
I wonder if they're using PrEP.
See, that's the thing. They didn't even really realize that AHF is not, you know, really for PrEP, but that's a whole other issue.
that is. By the way, I'm wearing my No Shame About Being HIV Positive shirt right now on the air, and I have the for the whole episode, of course, except for when I was still wearing it when I flashed my boxer shorts at the beginning of the show. So you mentioned that today the activists who were in the meeting are compiling the notes of the meeting for public release. What exactly is going on right now?
Okay, well, let me just do a little recap, I guess, after that press release came out. After that press release came out, the group of activists, we were emailing and basically came up with an open letter that we sent to the campaign, basically telling them that we were a little upset with the misrepresentation of the meeting. But moving on from that, what we asked them to do was that we still asked that they would still talk about their commitment to ending the AIDS epidemic. We asked that they would talk about ending the global epidemic by 2030, that they would call out and particularly talk about the groups that are at high risk for HIV, and talk about the increased funding for HIV research, and just overall campaign to fight HIV discrimination, criminalization, and stigma. So we sent them that open letter. We all signed it, like all 19 of us that were in, you know, signed it. the campaign then responded. Let me see if I can find the email. They responded on the campaign manager. This is ridiculous. This is absurd and ridiculous. A presidential candidate is running for president is more committed to ending the AIDS epidemic than Bernie Sanders. And you would know if you read Bernie's plan. Here's a copy and paste of Bernie Sanders' plan, which basically we all read extensively beforehand. And then went into meeting, but the head of his campaign didn't really know that, I guess. Email continues on. While we are disappointed in your mischaracterization and repeated attacks on the Bernie Sanders campaign, it is not surprising that someone who depends on Gilead Sciences and other big pharmaceutical companies for funding would continue to drop bombs on the only presidential candidate who has courage to stand up to the greed of big pharma companies. Basically, and then it goes on to say, the pharmaceutical companies are expected to spend as much as $100 million to defeat the Drug Price Relief Act. And they basically said they are proud to stand with the AIDS Healthcare Foundation and a bunch of other organizations. So it was upsetting that this went from us being diplomatic and asking them to talk about the other issues and to characterize the meeting rights to a personal attack on Mr. Staley. And I'm not really sure how that happened, because then the campaign manager went onto Twitter, insulted Peter, called him an activist, and quote, basically implying that he hasn't done anything, and was saying that he gets a fortune from the pharmaceutical company, which is just not true. He's not on their payroll or anything. So after that happened, the group, we all decided to publish basically the notes from the meeting, because we took extensive notes. People were notating and making sure that we knew what was being said and everything. So those will be available later today. I was hoping that I'd have them so that I could post them here on the link, but they are not available yet. I would encourage everybody later in the day to just keep a lookout for them. I will try to repost it at some point. If you know Peter Staley, you can go and follow him. He definitely will be posting it. But we are going to be basically posting the entire meeting so people can see that the ballot initiative was not something that we focused on, that there were so many other issues that we talked about, and that really that press release just misrepresented the meeting. And that was really our frustration, and that's what we were trying to call out and what we challenged, and it just kind of turned into something that it didn't have to be.
So what do you think needs to happen next?
I think the campaign needs to first apologize to Peter, because that was it became a personal attack on him, and that was ridiculous. I mean, if anybody has seen How to Survive a Plague, you know the work that Peter Staley has done with ACT UP, as well as many other activists. And that was a level of disrespect that I was just so shocked by. I was very shocked by it. Moving forward, I think. I just think that the meeting needs to be represented accurately. This is an opportunity still for the Sanders campaign to talk about what really happened at the meeting, and really how this press release happened. I don't know if this was something that they had written before our meeting and that they just released after, because they didn't want to have to take the time to write it after or figure out what to focus on. I'm not sure what it was, but the campaign manager said that they focused on what they felt was important, even though he wasn't even in the meeting with us. So it just seems to be that overall the campaign didn't really prep for this and isn't very knowledgeable about HIV beyond the pharmaceutical side. So I just think I'm not sure what the solution would be, but I definitely think people need to know that what really happened at that meeting, and that this isn't anybody being pro-Hillary or pro-Bernie. It's nothing about that. It's the fact that the meeting was misrepresented by somebody that is running for president, and that there were many of us in there that said, like, on so many other issues, and that basically they were deemed unimportant.
Well, that's really sad. I have some people out in there, out in the. So Manuel wants to know where the reports are located, and we have other people that have joined in. I'd just like to give a shout out to my audience members, Efren and Shay and Kevin and Manuel and Colin. So what I'm doing right now while Thomas is talking is I'm posting these links on the Nicholas Snow public Facebook page. That's what I'm doing right now. And so, Thomas, one of the things that I'm interested to know, actually, for the people that are watching, I'm going to wait till after the show to post these links, but if you go to Peter Staley's Facebook page, it's open to the public, and you're going to be able to find all of this as well. And frankly, just Google Peter Staley, S-T-A-L-E-Y, HIV, Bernie Sanders, you're going to find all the news reporting about everything that Thomas and I are discussing. But I'd like to move into this, Thomas. So I'm a public supporter of Hillary Clinton, but I have always said that I'm with her and I'm feeling the burn, and that I will vote for anybody that can defeat now Donald Trump. But I think it's vitally important for so many reasons that we have anybody but Trump, and in my preference, Hillary, in the White House. But you were someone that until recently were in the middle of the road between Bernie and Hillary. Am I correct in stating that?
Yes, you are.
Okay, so one of the things that I find that is sad and scary is that there are people that have made the decision that if they don't, that if their candidate, whether it be Hillary or Bernie, does not get the nomination, they're not going to vote, or they might vote for a completely different candidate, the Libertarian candidate, or a write-in, or a third party. Mm-hmm. Who knows what would happen? And my belief is that if one person does not cast their vote, that it impacts the outcome of the election as much as they do cast their votes.
Absolutely.
What do you? And you know what? That ties directly to a battle cry from ACT UP: silence equals death, and action equals life. So basically, when you don't vote, you're being silent. And when
exactly.
you do vote, you're taking action. And one of the sort of themes of my whole life's work has been to communicate.
Uh-oh. Nicholas, I think I lost you.